You want prizes? We've got free prizes. You want cash? We've got lots of cash. Simply download Bashani Radio app. Allow push notifications and listen for your chance to win loads of cash. Please don't tell our CEO it's his money we're giving away. We won't tell if you won't tell. Bashani Radio app. Download it for free in the App Store.
You're listening to The Spectrum with Bob Ivory, an Ivory Coast Media production.
Welcome once again to The Spectrum with Bob Ivory, where we are talking life from A to Z, including all the stuff in between. All this month, our focus will be on remarkable and resilient women. We kick this series off with an interview I did on Facebook Live with my wife, Deborah Ivory, who has a truly remarkable story of transformation for the better. Call a friend and gather around the phone or the computer or around the XM radio, because this is one story that is sure to inspire you and provide hope to someone who may feel that they are out of options for a truly happy life. Let's listen right now.
Today's show is called From Hurt to Healing, and it is dedicated to encourage women who are suffering from low self-esteem and low self-worth due to different types of abuse, be it verbal, be it physical, and sometimes just their own inner talk, their inner speech, and the environment in which they've grown up without a sense of value. And today's interview, it is my hope that it will provide some help and encouragement for those who may be suffering even to this day with a sense of loneliness, low self-esteem, and low self-worth, and without a concept of who God is and who He can be to you. Now, as long as I've known Deborah, she's been a very joyful person, very generous person, very giving person, but I also know that that's not always been the case. As she has shared different episodes about her life that just kind of left me with my mouth hanging open. And I am amazed at what she has endured by the grace of God and what she has let God do in her life. And that's exciting to me. And not just because I'm her husband, but I just love a good story. And when someone has something of value to add, I'm always anxious to help others to be introduced to that kind of help. So we're going to begin our time with Deborah, and I'm going to ask her the first question, and I'm just going to let her flow as she sees fit. But Deborah, tell us about your life prior to coming to Christ.
Well, my life prior to coming to Christ was, I thought it was fine. I thought it was good, but I later found out, well, I grew up in the Jeffrey Projects. And I can remember, I'm the oldest of five siblings. So my mom, she was working out of the home. And, well, she had to. At first she wasn't, but eventually when she was working outside the home, that's when things began to change for me. I had a wonderful childhood as a little girl. But then when I got, the way I got hurt was when my mother had to go to work and someone else had to take care of us. So when that took place, that means I was, some different things happened. And I'm not going to talk about that right now, but what I would like to talk about is how my childhood was after I became a teenager.
Okay.
That was really interesting, because this is what led up to me exactly wanting to know Christ, because I didn't know my purpose And okay. I was giving my mom a lot of trouble when I grew up.
You?
Yes.
Giving Debbie. Your mother trouble?
Yes.
It can't be.
Because, you know, our home, it was a lot of parties and music, a lot of laughing and, mm-hmm. you know, different things were going on. But also it was abuse going on, verbal, emotional, sexual abuse. And so when I was a teenager, I did everything that I thought grown people would do. Like I was smoking weed, drinking, and just doing everything I thought that grown folks was doing.
Right.
I was cussing people out I was unrecognizable. You wouldn't even know me when I was a teenager. But at home, I used to be like fanning when my mama's company would be smoking and everything. I'd be like I just couldn't stand it. But then when I get out, I'll be smoking with my friends. It happened when I went over to my cousin's house.
Mm-hmm.
And then I end up, you know, getting out of control. It's like I began to do things that caused me to get a whooping. You know, my mother was fed up. Sometimes I wouldn't even come home. I would, and my mom was worried about me, and I just gave her so much trouble that, she just didn't know what to do with me.
Okay.
So she would whoop me, and then she put me out. In fact, I got my last whooping when I was 18. I got a whooping, and I got put out because I didn't come home.
Wow.
I didn't care about the consequences. I was going to do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. But this all came crashing down on me when I ended up going into the hospital. I was on self-destruct mode. I can remember being in the hospital, and I was I had pneumonia, asthma, and bronchitis. I was on 3 penicillin shots a day, and I was breathing treatments around the clock. And I can remember even in that I was in the bathroom standing on the toilet, smoking a joint, trying to blow the smoke out of the vent in the bathroom.
Wow.
And my boyfriend, he gave it to me. He brought it to me. This is who supposed to, he loved me.
Her, he, not me.
way before I met you. This is my former life.
Her former life.
And the kind of person I once was.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea. I mean, you couldn't even really imagine that I was the same person.
Right.
I began to change. I was in the hospital, and I realized that, wow, I'm on self-destruct. I mean, in hindsight, as I talk about my past, which I had buried it so far, I didn't hardly even remember this stuff. So anyway, I got out of the hospital. That was just one episode. But
right.
Then my mom was, she was like, oh goodness, this is too much. You know, so I eventually, when I couldn't do right,
mm-hmm.
I become really, really sad, and I didn't like giving my mom that trouble, but I couldn't help myself. I didn't know why I couldn't change. I mean, so I found myself upstairs in my room crying my eyes out because I had gotten a whooping. I didn't mm-hmm. get my way, but then I said, man, what's the sense of even living? Because mm-hmm. if I'm gonna die anyway, and then I can't get it right, I don't want my mom to be mad at me all the time, or because I can't get right. But my mom was, I had a good mother. She did the best that she could. In fact, when I was graduated,
mm-hmm.
she had given me $10,000.
Wow.
And a house.
Wow.
She did the best she could. Now who does that? And you would think that I would straighten up, you know, because she bought me a car and she gave me a house.
Mm-hmm.
My whole family moved out into another house. She said, you grown, Debbie. Now you have a house. Here's $10,000. But I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know how to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So I continued to have the same behavior. But when all of this started changing, you know, when I tried to take my life, I ended up slitting my wrist in my room, right? Because
mm.
I was so depressed about, the money couldn't fix it.
Mm.
The car and all those different things couldn't. I was like, wow. I didn't learn about who I really was until my mom came in the room and found me and took me to the hospital. And I didn't even know that. That what I did was against the law, because they call that suicide.
Mm.
I found out when the police and everything, they started talking to me in the hospital, because when you try to commit suicide, you're breaking the law. And so now they needed to, my mom needed to do something else for me. She needed to take me to a psychiatrist to make sure everything is all right, because that's not normal thinking behavior. And so when I saw Dr. Wells, I can remember the lady I talked to, I would go see weekly, and she would talk to me about what was going on with me. Well, it was different things going on in my home that was helping my behavior to be like that. And so I found out who I was, and then I began to question who I was even the more. And things start opening up to me when I went to go see this play, a play that showed my life. It was a story of my life and how the enemy, the devil, Satan, was trying to get me to self-destruct so that I would no longer be here, because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Now, when you say your life, you mean the play. You saw your life in the play.
Yes. You know how you can see, you look at a movie or a play and you can relate and you can see yourself, that happening to you right before your eyes, or in the movie or on the stage. Well, this was happening. I was like, wow, somebody else know about, you know, this kind of thing happening. This was happening not just to me now. I saw it was being exposed and displayed on stage. So I was feeling like, wow, I can change. There is hope for me. And so that's when I began to start looking into more about why I'm here and who God is. I gave my life to Christ that day at that particular play, and God has been changing my life ever since.
Wow.
It's really something. I'm like, wow.
Now, so how old were you when you made your commitment to Christ?
Right here is a good place to take a break. So take a listen to this.
Bethlehem House is a respite for homeless working women. They can stay here for up to a year. When they come, they're kind of disheveled a little bit, but we try and put them back together here. Our goal is for them to save money, it's very important, and clean their credit. Because without good credit, your money is no good. Isn't that amazing? But they stay here for a year and we kind of get them back together and they go on.
So, Sam, I heard your grandma say they're donating that car to Charity Motors.
Yeah.
Said they're getting a full fair market tax deduction for it.
I do not know what that means.
It means we get whatever it's worth as a tax deduction right when we donate it.
Nope, not getting it.
It means we get money for it. So does the charity we pick. And the car goes half off to someone who really needs it.
Dollar bill, Sam. Whoop, whoop. Charity Motors.
Yep.
No working woman should be homeless. Find out how you can help at BethlehemHouse.org. And remember, the year's drawing to a close quickly. Isn't that something? The last few months of the year, and we're already here. Well, I'm sure some of you are glad to see 2020 on its way. But there is a benefit to be had by you by donating your car to Charity Motors. And even if you don't have a car, you can make a donation, because guess what? The needs never stop. Find out more about Charity Motors at charitymotors.org. Charitymotors.org.
And now the conclusion of the interview with Deborah Ivory.
Now, so how old were you when you made your commitment to Christ?
Yeah, that was the first time. I was 19. I was 18, going on 19.
So it sounds like, you know, you made the commitment, but you needed some reassurance. So when did it, not that it didn't stick, but in, you know, in your mind, you know, when was it settled for you?
Yeah,
as it regards to your relationship with Christ.
It was settled with me when I was 19. You know, at the age of 19, I recognized that when I had spent all my money, the $10,000 that my mom gave me,
right.
And then when my boyfriend that I let live with me to help me spend the money, who ended up being my children's father, I ended up being in this relationship after we spent the money. And then he went to get a job. He had to get a job for me to stay with him, so he went in the Army. And then I continued to live my life, but I said I wasn't going to be there when he came back, you know, if I wasn't married. And, but I told my mom I was going to get married, and she said, "Oh, Debbie, he's not going to be able to take care of you."
Mm.
I said, "Really?" She told me I wasn't going to get married, so I thought I was grown. I thought when I'm grown, I do what I want to do. So I ran off and got married anyway. Lord, ended up with the hardest time, whoo, in my life. I didn't even really, really know what I was in for. But the best thing out of my three children and the marriage that I was in, that that God, he helped to build character. I have some really serious episodes about my life in the book, Choose Joy on Purpose. And my marriage, it really helped me. My first marriage, this is my prince right here. Bob and I, we have been married for almost 25 years now. And my first marriage to my children's father was for 11 years. I was hoping and praying and thinking that this was going to change. He'll be able to, you know, it's going to all work out. I went through so much. Won't even talk to you about what I went through. But that's what built character in me. Some of the pain that I experienced through that relationship had my heart hurting so bad that I wanted to take it out and sit it on the table. And I was like, whoa. And I still would just operate the principles of God through the midst of the pain.
Wow. Now, that's an interesting position that you had given your life to Christ. And a lot of women, I believe, go through that sense of, even though they're in a bad relationship, that sense of belief that it's going to change exists, and it contributes to more pain.
Yes.
So why do you, as a woman, why, and help maybe some of the men viewers, help us understand why women endure that type of affliction? Because, you know, sometimes you see a woman going through some issues and maybe getting abused or beat or verbally abused, and you say, well, why does she put up with that? Why doesn't she put him out or leave him? You know, what is it that keeps that hope alive, so to speak? And it keeps you moving in that direction.
Well, I really didn't know what it was at first. I just know that it was something that was driving me for the attention that I was getting. That I was getting the attention that I thought I needed. And, you know, it seemed like it's something. I believe it's the scripture where it talks about that it's a curse, I believe it is, for women that want to chase after somebody that's not good for them. It's another form of self-destruction and low self-esteem. This is what I think I deserved, apparently, and the character of a person, just believing that everybody can change. If I can change, I believe that he could change, and that's what I believe women, they think. You know, they hopeful and they're prayerful, and it's been stories where people have actually changed.
Mm-hmm.
But in my case, I didn't, even though I was hurt, even though it was abuse through, you know, other women and alcohol and crack, all kind of stuff, was substance abuse. These things were in our marriage. I still was holding on to our marriage. And I was holding on not because I just wanted out. Mm. I wanted the way that God wanted it to go. So I was looking for him for deliverance, period.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted the truth so I can be free. And so he caused me to love him in the midst of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the character of Christ. He said, vengeance is mine, and we can overcome evil with good. So I can get as close to my God, and he transformed me when I started spending time with him. The more time I spent with God, the more I was transformed. The more I was able to love him past all of his faults and everything.
That's one of the things I noticed about you when we first met, is that the word of God was always paramount to you, and not in a pious kind of way, but in a life-sustaining kind of way. So would you tell us how the word of God, or why the word of God was so, it was then and it continues to be now, even in your life, the importance of it, but how has it changed and helped change and shape your life?
Have you ever been in a relationship with somebody and just wanted them so much, but they didn't pay you any attention? And perhaps everything was fine at one time, or even you just tried to get their attention. You would want to go with them where they go, mm-hmm. and they wouldn't want you to go, or you would want to call them to call you, and you're looking at the phone, and they're not calling, and you're just desiring to be with them, but they rejecting you. And that hurts. And I just knew that it was another way. As I began to read the Word of God, it became more than my necessary food. Mm-hmm. I did not have to look out the window looking to see when they coming. Are you coming? When are you coming back? Like, I just needed to be with them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I found out that God was my first love, and I was putting someone else before him.
Wow.
And God is a jealous God. And when I read that God was a jealous God and he doesn't want us to have no other gods before us, I don't care how good your husband is or how bad he is or how much he does for you, but we have a responsibility as born again believers to put God first. And he's a jealous God. And he said that he don't want us to have no other gods before us, talking about children, husband, any relationship. So when I began to put him first and spend that quality time with him, the word started transforming my life. I can remember before the internet and before these smartphones came out,
mm-hmm.
I can remember sitting on the bus, going to beauty school, reading my Bible on the bus. And I would get where I am in school, and people were like, "What you reading?" You know, some, and I was like, "This." I would just read it for me. I wasn't trying to show out. I would put it away,
right?
Because I wasn't trying to explain it to anybody. But this was my food.
Mm.
This was keeping me alive. This is how I made it through the relationship that I thought that this wasn't right. But God, Jesus had went through a lot of stuff that wasn't right. And I figured this must be what I have to go through, or he's going to deliver me. So I was trusting God to deliver me from this, that if trouble can't last always. So I was being sustained by the word.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is detailed in this book right here. And so you want to feel free to leave a comment if you want to get a copy.
Yeah.
Because she, part of her story is told in that book, and it certainly will encourage you. It will entertain you. It'll bless you. It'll be a blessing to you. Deborah, about to wrap up our time here. Any final thoughts you want to share with the audience?
Yes, it's some really, really good nuggets that's in my book that I don't really have time to talk to you about, that will help you to understand my relationship with Christ and why I'm so excited. I don't know, for you that know me, you know that I'm excited. And my life with God is just so, so fulfilling. I just love him so much. Really, I do. I mean, I love my husband, Bobby Ray Ivory Jr., but he don't have nothing on God. God is my everything. He is my fortress. He is my strong tower. He is my everything. And I needed that I went through before I got with Mr. Bobby Ray Ivory. I needed to go through every bit of that so that I can be able to keep my character will be in order, that I'll be able to stay in this marriage for almost 25 years. And I give all the glory to God. Not that Bob and I have been so perfect, but God has created us for one another, and we have a wonderful relationship. And that's due to both of us being equally yoked. You know, it's important that we have somebody that's going in the same direction we are. We can't change anyone, but we can change ourselves. And when I changed, everything around me changed.
Deborah Yvonne Ivory, she has a book called Choose Joy on Purpose. Mm-hmm. I encourage you to pick it up and leave us some comments and let me know how you were impacted by today.
Well, that is about it for today. And I once again thank you for joining me on the Spectrum with Bob Ivory. I want you to have a fantastic day on purpose. Reach out to me on Instagram at Bobby Ray Ivory Jr. on Instagram. Also, you can reach me on Facebook, Bobby Ray Ivory Jr. on Facebook. You can reach me on my business website, ivorycoastmedia.com. Or you can reach out to me by phone, 248-494-2536. I want you to go out there and have a fantastic day on purpose. And I mean that. Be well, my friends.
Your mommy, your daddy, and all your friends, and tell them New York's number one podcast app is blowing up the airwaves and they can't do nothing about it. Bashani Radio app, we global, baby.
Yeah, baby!
Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store.